From small-town dreamer to global icon.
She's America's sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Why does Taylor Swift inspire such devotion and criticism?
She's created a community on a scale never been done before.
Taylor on Channel 4. Stream now.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
What's up, everybody? It's your good buddy Joe O'Brien here from the GCP. Just coming in real quick before this app to let you know that we are currently running a survey among all of our listeners and viewers to find out what you guys want to see or hear more of from us over here at the GCN. We're always thinking how to keep things fresh, how to shake things up a little bit, and your input would be huge. If you go to the episode description of this app, there's a link there that'll take you right to the survey. If you just want to take a couple minutes of your time, I'm telling you, you could literally help shape the direction of the network. Thanks so much for considering it, and I'll get out of your way. Enjoy this week's app of the Shadow Doc.
Welcome to the Glass Cannon Podcast. We're a bunch of good time pals yucking it up, busting chops, and creating actual play podcasts of your favorite tabletop RPGs. And for this, our third campaign, we are playing Shadow Dark.
Shadow Dark.
I don't know if you know, those vocals are Jason Charles Miller with backup vocals by Cindy Emanuel.
I can say now, I sang on a song with Jason Charles Miller, and that's the coolest thing. Cool.
It was the best part of the song, I think.
Yes.
Apart from the music and Jason's
and the singing and the guitar.
Also the lyrics.
And the lyrics.
And the production.
Really Jason. Production was great.
So fifth best part.
Thank you.
It was definitely part of the song.
Stop talking.
Worth us flying you out to LA just to get in the studio with JCM?
Yes.
And his 17-piece band.
Oh, man.
And his five dogs.
To stand there.
And his five beautiful dogs.
Amongst his five beautiful dogs and his 17-piece band. I feel so lucky.
Five-star hotel you put me up in.
You
didn't mention that.
First class. Yeah, me in my office screaming at the top of my lungs.
Wardrobe by Botany 500.
Well, great song and solid F1. It felt good leaving here.
Felt good.
You liked it and you want to hear more of this stuff, the way to help us is subscribe and like the videos at youtube.com/theglasscannon. Download and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Drop a little 5-star John on those. It really helps boost us up the algo. Follow Glass Cannon Network on Instagram. Cool. We've got nudity on there, probably. I don't know, maybe. That got your attention, right? And if you want to get tons of content, including ad-free versions of this very show, subscribe today at jointhenaish.com.
I got to say something real quick, because I think a lot of people, I think, are under the impression that when we say subscribe, it means you have to like get the card like out of the magazine and like fill it out by hand, mail it in. You know, 6 to 8 weeks later, you get your subscription back. That's not true. It's just a button.
Yeah. So I'm glad you clarified.
We have really updated all of our tech to just like, it's all digital.
It happens like instantly.
Yeah. You can use your smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do it on the phone.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. But.
That's great.
The phones, isn't it crazy that the phones are just getting smaller?
You're working out your type 5?
She booked a corporate gig. She's very excited about it.
What's funny is halfway through that joke, I was like, she could go about four different ways with the last word, and they'd all be pretty old.
But like, we were all riffing, but something about your bit, we had to grind it to a halt.
What made me think to do that bit was Joe taking the subtle pause before saying smartphone, which just really tickled me. As yeah. if you
forgot the word.
Forgot the word.
The smartphone.
I like that.
We were talking about choosing dice for the show that are legible, and we were talking, Joe and I were just scrutinizing dice like this, like two old men at cities.
I
mean, it's like,
I need more light.
I can't see the numbers.
Too dark in here.
I was complaining about Sydney, your tiny dice.
I know.
Like, how can you read those? I forget that how eyes work differently at your age.
Young.
I completely forget. Like, you can actually, can you read that?
12.
There you go. Wow. It's crazy. Wow. It's like a superpower to me.
It really is.
I can't relate at all. It's insane.
It stinks. I have glasses. I don't want to wear them.
Yeah, well, you're not wearing them.
No, I haven't worn them in months.
That's why you
even
always...
when you drive?
No, I don't need them when I drive. I get the gist.
Guys.
Basically where everything is.
No, basically where everything
is. You know how big cars are? I can see them.
Can't miss one of those.
My friends worked with this guy in high school. They worked at a UPS store with him, and I think he said a lot of things, but one of the things he said he liked to do is he and his girlfriend liked to drop acid, drive down the highway, and try to guess which cars were real.
Jeepers.
Wow. We were all like,
that's a bad idea.
You're joking, right? And he was like,
yes, I'm joking.
Sydney, do you wear any corrective lenses whatsoever?
No, I have glasses that I never really wear because I don't really need them, but they're for when I read at night. They're a slight magnification because I would read a lot at night and my eyes would get tired. And my eye doctor told me, you might be straining your eyes, you know, if your eyes get tired, and that's what leads to needing corrective lenses. So they're just my reading glasses.
Just little reading glasses. Are they like librarian, like they have a long chain to them?
No, I lose them, which is why I don't wear them. Maybe I should get a long chain. No, they're just, I think they're Warby Parker.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah, those are
what I have. Yeah. Those are nice.
That's another thing you can just get on the internet.
Yeah, well.
You don't need a magazine or
don't need a little card for that either.
No, just need to fill out a card. 6 to 8 weeks later, you get your glasses.
Yeah.
Actually,
they do mail them. They do mail them. That's the cool thing about glasses these days. Like, Skid, are your glasses new?
I have like three different pairs.
I love these blue ones.
I have a pair. These are my like outside pair that I wear when I'm out in the world.
Indoor, outdoor?
These are my medium pair if I'm going to be looking at a lot of screens, but I'm also afraid of like a close in sort of gunman. I can memorize their face if they're like 20 feet away.
There's a whole section for that Warby Parker.
And then I have like my office glasses, which is I'm just going to be looking at the computer for the next like 8 hours if I'm streaming or something. Then I wear those.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. You know what you don't need glasses to see?
A podcast?
This break.
Didn't see it coming. That's
didn't
why.
See that coming at all.
Didn't see it coming.
So smooth the transition.
Segue expertise.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
The holidays sneak up really, really fast sometimes, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have a little fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists or small businesses, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. So I've actually been using Uncommon Goods for years. A while ago, I bought some custom wall art for my wife where you uploaded a section of a song and then the artist took a look at the waveform and crafted a piece of wall art that looked like that. So we chose a special song and now it's hanging in our apartment. But that's just one example. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so you have to shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. To date, they've donated more than $3 million. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/canon. That's uncommongoods.com/canon, C-A-N-N-O-N, for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Hello, beautiful. It's me, Bert Bukowski. I'm here to tell you that The Bert Show premieres Tuesday, November 4th. The Bert Show is an incredible show filled with comedy, music, games, and interesting people answering stupid questions. You can subscribe to The Bert Show wherever you listen to your podcasts and watch episodes on the Forever Dog YouTube page at Forever Dog Team. All one word, like Martini.
We are back. I want to thank our sponsors for this Shadow Dark campaign, our good friends at Norse Foundry. I think we might be rolling some rocks today. I had some rolling happening last week behind the old screen that you guys, Matthew, pointed out at one point. Don't worry about what I got going on here behind my tiny little Shadow Dark screen.
Yeah, that's a tight screen.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I feel like I ordered the wrong size.
It is smaller than
Maurice's. Wonder if they take returns.
Yeah.
It's like not the size.
I'm not covered back here.
It's the girth.
It's the girth, yes. This is very girthy. I also want to thank, speaking of girthy, big shout out to Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
Yes.
The girthiest virtual tabletop on the market.
Yep.
On the market. They are actually, remember Ember? We did Ember.
Yeah.
It's been a year. It was a year
ago.
It's been a year, right?
Yeah, I guess
since
so.
Since we played Ember, which, how would you describe Ember?
It was almost like, I mean, just with the platform, it was like an interactive, like a story game. It was like what was those LucasArts games?
Yeah, it was like really? It was like being able to play a video game.
Remember the landscape, like, the vignette friends, scenes? Like, yeah, they had these scenes. It was very narrative.
Yeah, the vignettes were really cool.
It was very cool.
And that was like, whatever they call it. I don't know the terms. So the alpha, like very, very early alpha. Yeah, yeah. They are now, I think this week actually, releasing the beta.
Oh,
no
like,
way.
Beta wow. is out, and if you backed it, you can like start participating.
Oh, sick.
Awesome. In the beta, which is like, it's absurd. It's like
so cool.
It's I think he said if you play it weekly with your group, it's like a year of content in the beta. That you could, it's the first three chapters of the adventure.
So cool.
Yeah. So that's like out now. And then soon, more people can buy into the beta in like December or something.
Awesome.
Like that.
I want to play again. I want to bring Flomberg back. Play.
Yes.
Oh, Flomberg. He was awesome.
Matthew was the only one that wasn't there. Do you feel, is this awkward for you for us to talk about this?
No.
See, he's fine with it.
Yeah,
he said.
He loves it.
Glad I brought it up.
He always sits up straight like that and freezes.
Guys, you had a Shadow Dark tea on last week. Looks like you're darkened back there.
Yeah.
Is that Mordanicus or something?
Oh, yeah, what's his name?
That's cool.
Remember. Yeah, he's got a whole page in the monster.
Awesome. Oh. This is honestly the most metal piece of clothing I've ever owned.
You look so cool.
You look so metal.
Which is so sad.
You're a real Shadow Dark pose. Mordanticus the Flayed.
There he is.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There he is.
What do you got? It's like a Sararak.
On theme, but I wore my Shadow Dark shirt for the first episode. And now, I don't know, like every episode, I feel like I have to dress metal. Like, I have to dress hard. I don't know if I can keep it up.
Go hard.
Yeah. I don't know if I can keep it up.
Dress hard or don't dress at all.
Kate was the one who had, like, the coolest clothes, and I feel like she would be crushing the Shadow Dark thing.
Her wardrobe would be perfect for this show.
I feel like I have to, like, step it up.
Yeah. You think she'd be willing to lend me some clothes?
Or costume design this from afar?
Or costume design it? Oh, yeah. She would love to tell you guys what to wear.
Absolutely.
She tries.
She always has a comment.
That's why she loves The Sims. That's why she loves Sims so much.
So dress you all up.
Dress everybody up.
We're not dolls. Kate. Matthew kind of is. Oh, man.
I've been waiting for this moment.
What?
I was like, the first time that Troy makes a comment about my height, I'm going to reveal what we did, which was that I helped frame your seat before you got here today.
Is that why my head is cut off? Is that why my head's cut off in the frame?
Francis is like, we need to start framing Troy's seat. He's not here yet. And Joe is like, oh, I'm too tall. And I was like, we're basically the same height. I'll do it.
Wow. Do we have to stand up and do this the old fashioned?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Get an official measurement.
Look, head's cut off. Slouching, Troy. Yeah, nailed it.
Natural. That's natural, Troy.
Yeah, that's natural, Troy. Troy.
Natural you slouching. You never sit like this.
Slouching towards. Who sits like this?
Matthew, that's how I play all Matthew. My Shadow Dark games.
Big fellas.
This is the natural Shadow Dark pose.
Yes. Yeah.
It's time to play Shadow Dark. Are you ready to enter the Shadow Dark?
Are you ready to enter the Shadow
Grab
Dark?
Grab your torch.
OSR, OSR.
Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb.
Man, last week was a lot of fun. I'm more stressed about this week, and I shouldn't be. We end the episode, I'm like, why was I stressed? That was great. But there was just so much going on. We went out to lunch afterwards, and we couldn't stop talking about all the little threads, and you guys keep mentioning little things that like weren't even the major things that had come up. But obviously we get introduced to these four characters who are waking up after some cataclysm ended a war that they were in, and they don't know how long they've been out. Everyone around them, everything around them is death, and they come to like every part of their body aches, and they find themselves in horrible, horrible places. I mean, I'll never not think about the opening image of this campaign is like your hand coming up from a pile of dead bodies.
Yeah.
That says it all, right?
Yeah.
And you quickly realize that so much of what is happening right here at the outset is about survival. Right? It's not about go kill this great wizard and rid the land of this evil. No, this is much more simple. You need money to live.
Yep.
To eat.
You need money to eat, money to have a roof over our heads.
We spent more money than any of us have spent or seen in recent memory. For one night.
Yeah. That I was thinking that had to be just kind of a stressful act too, is like spending that much money, knowing that if we were to continue to spend at that rate, we wouldn't last a week.
I mean, no. She said the weekly price and Sydney got,
I blanched.
I looked at my sheet and I went, oh no.
Yeah.
She was trying to be nice. She was like, you know, we could prorate it if you decide to stay there. The whole week, but yeah, it's more you were cobbling together those coins just to stay one night, and so you come to Marin's Hold, this city where it seems like they've got everything you need here. Looks like it's a little bit under reconstruction, but the guy who runs the place, Reeve Tarly Winters, he sends out some guy to talk to the crowd and is basically like, this can be a sanctuary for you. Whatever wars you fought in, they're not going to be fought in here. One other rule, no magic. We don't deal with that shit here. Keep that outside our walls. As long as you obey the rules, everything will be fine. Otherwise, you might suffer a fate worse than death, which is banishment out there. Because the forest, this area is dangerous. At least here, you're behind walls.
Did we take that to mean all magic or just arcane magic?
Sounded like all magic.
Because it's like, I would understand a ban on arcane magic because the mishaps will occur. It can be very dangerous. But that doesn't, it isn't
divine
the
magic. You know, if it's, if that divine magic aligns with the deities they worship, you might be okay. You might be able to get a pass. He didn't extrapolate on that. It was just kind of like, no magic.
How do they feel about stuff like, you know, like the bullet catch? Or like...
Like catching a bullet out of midair?
Like, you know, or a little bit of like a three card Monty situation. How do they feel about that kind of
thing? Oh, like stage magic?
Yeah.
Oh,
sleight of hand?
Prestidigitation?
Yeah, like if you know, like
what if David Copperfield came into town?
If David Copperfield came to town with, well, I think there might
I'm
be
gonna make the Mott of the Mott and Bailey disappear. Right.
They might be disturbed for other reasons there, but you understand my example.
It sounds to me like it would be risky. You know what I mean? You don't know their level of what they believe and what they don't believe. If you made a card disappeared, they might be like, we're putting you to
this your card? Right.
Shut him!
If Doug Henning showed up in medieval London and like did, oh, here's your card, and like, they would burn him probably at the stake as a witch. So
try it at the crayfish tonight. See how it goes.
Maybe like as on our way out, we'll be like, is this your card? See what happens.
What was that show that was it? Will Arnett, did he do that show where like somebody was not in on, like they would have a celebrity come in and it was like a murder mystery, but it was all improv.
Oh,
it was
Murderville.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Did you ever see
that? I never watched it.
But it was great.
Yeah, it was on, but I wasn't watching.
The one with Conan O'Brien, a guy did like a, it was a magician that was a suspect and they were interrogating him and he was like, do you want to see a little? And he like did a thing and Will Arnett literally threw himself off of a chair back against the wall and he's just like,
sorcery.
Conan O'Brien broke character.
Lost
like,
was completely. Like, what's wrong with you?
So it was so funny. But that was a really good show.
Yeah, but I do think about, you know, that kind of example, like where somebody else might be like, oh, that was a fun trick. And somebody else might irrationally be like, the use of magic in these walls is forbidden. And then like throw you into the
moat.
You
cut her in half.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Saint saw the guards making people leave. Like, well, unknown yeah. reason right. why, but it seems to be magic.
This is where we ended the episode. A lot happened before then. You know, you got your room, you met each other because basically they were running out of rooms and they're like, we're looking for foursomes. And Matthew's character very wisely was like, they're with us, and grabbed Joe and Sydney's character, and the four of you got a room. You're together by circumstance. Four different people all involved with this war, and you're all in need of work. So you go down to the Crayfish Tavern. It seems pretty boisterous. Everyone's kind of looking at you sideways, especially the new people. But you get some drinks, and then Joe's character starts talking to some of the builders that are working on, it looks like a part of the palisade had been rebuilt recently, but some of the houses nearby are under construction as well. Talk to some of the builders, see if they had work, and they were like, no, unless somebody gets hurt, I think we're in good shape. But, you know, there are like other opportunities. There was this merchant that disappeared with her guard recently. You should talk to her business partner who's still here. People don't know, maybe she took off or maybe she's gone for good. And then you followed a drunk guy out who was being carried home by one of the builders after putting up a scene. And you talked to the bartender, and it seems like his wife died recently from an accident. And so he's very sad about that. You followed him, found out where he lived. You come back to the Crayfish Tavern, and there's a guy waiting outside, kind of a shady character who you beat at dice earlier when you were waiting to get into Marin's Hold. And he's like, if it's real coin you're after, I have some information if you'll give me my money back. And he tells you that there are bandits to the west outside of another settlement known as Wardenwood, and he thinks that the people of Wardenwood would pay a nice price to be rid of that problem. So you've got a couple options, and then at the end you go back home. You go back to your inn, the Feathered Wish. There's two inns, the Weathered Fish and the Feathered Wish. And you set a watch. On the second watch, you hear a woman shriek outside. You look out the window, and the guards are like forcibly ushering a few people, including at least two women, out of town. And they're like, no, it's not what you think, or something like that. And they brought them out. Drawbridge goes up, and you leave. And that's where we ended the episode.
Sorry, did they walk them out?
Yeah, they
leave them?
They left with
come
them.
Come back in.
No, they left with them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, they left with them. Left
the guards them. Left. I thought so. You described it coming back up. And the guards never came back.
Yes, I hope the audience understood that.
Oh,
Sydney didn't understand that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you know.
Okay.
Yeah, they left with them. They didn't just throw them out.
But they closed the thing behind them, the gate behind them. That's interesting.
Middle of the night. That's during the second watch.
That is where we pick up our episode today. How about some fresh caps?
Yeah.
Sydney, you used your cap, so you're at one, while these greedy fucks have two.
Save them up.
So many caps, so many.
Blood of the wild.
Luck tokens.
Who's this?
Oh, that's Neil. That's Neil from Get in the Trunk.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like
Skid's filmmaker.
Filmmaker slash retired surgeon.
Is the look based on Rick Ocasek?
It is.
Yes, it is. Good call. Good eye.
All right. So, you know, you tell me where you want to pick up. We can pick up next morning, or are you coming back and waking them up?
No, I would come back. I would retie the door and do the watch as normal. I'll tell them in the morning.
All right.
We tell them in the morning. Don't worry about it.
There's nothing we could do
They're
now.
They're probably dead.
Yeah.
Joe, let me hear that queued up cock-a-doodle-doo sound.
Oh, wish I did.
Ready to go.
Wish I did.
That's what you hear. Cock-a-doodle-doo. There it is.
I nailed it.
Verisimilitude is stunning on the Glass Cannon Network.
There we go. There we go. Just took an extra second. Thank you, Sirenscape, for bailing me out.
Was that Ben himself?
Probably.
You wake up, you're on the sixth floor, sixth room of the Feathered Wish. It's a new day. And for the first time in a long time, you've slept in a bed, comfortable. Some of you took baths, showers, or whatever. You feel recharged. But, you know, it's a weird place.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can't get used to this. We don't have the money to like.
I know. I also can't decide if it's the best night of sleep that Ellison has had in a long time or the worst. Because after sleeping on the ground in a foxhole for all this time to then have a bed, even a little cot, you know, it's like.
Be weird.
You just keep waking up.
Yeah, I wonder if at a certain point you got up and just slept on the floor instead because that was more comfortable.
Yeah, I heard that like soldiers like coming back and sleeping in a bed for first time and forever. And they're like, no, it's too soft. I can't get comfortable.
Yeah.
I think Saint is still like out cold in the morning. Once folks wake up, like he is sleeping through.
Poke you a little bit.
You poke me and immediately shoots up holding his dagger.
We're just going to get breakfast. Well, yeah, I mean, should we? We were talking a little bit on our way back from lunch about order of operations here. So we do want to talk. We want to talk to Martin Gardoch.
Yes.
The business partner of Regina Spence, who went missing. Mm-hmm. We also thought maybe if there was a bandit situation, that was your theory, but maybe we don't know. But if that is what happened, it might be worth getting the information from the attempted card sharp dude.
Yeah, my friend. I would be willing to part with some coin, but I'll probably get that coin back, if you know what I mean.
I feel like also if we show up with a hulking half-orc soldier.
This is, I think, what Saint's idea is, too. He wants to bring the entire group to this guy to show, like, you can't bully me. You can't bully me into doing tasks for you. I'm not your friend. And I have people, like, with me now. I have, like, a crew now. So he pitches it to you guys in the morning, and he tells you about last night. He says during his watch, heard something, went outside, and we'll cut to them like eating breakfast, maybe. And he's talking low at the table. And they took her and some others out.
Well, they just kicked them out because they...
Magic.
Well, they were probably fighting.
No, they took them out and the drawbridge closed behind them.
I wonder if they were using magic.
Well, that's what I thought too.
But even if they were, wouldn't the guards come back?
That makes me wonder. The man we saw at the bar last night, the one crying about his wife who had, what did they say? Died.
In an accident.
An accident,
she said,
Remy. Wonder if she had been removed too, for the same reason.
That's interesting.
Did you recognize the women, the people you saw being taken out? You see them today in one of the lines, so they knew.
Ken, did Saint kind of recognize if they were like new people he had been seeing in the camp?
It's hard to tell at night. Okay. Like there was nothing distinguishing about them.
Yeah. Also, why didn't you wake us up?
It was my watch.
But you left us in the room.
Yeah.
Did you lock the door behind you?
No.
You can't leave the room.
Am I crazy? We're new to each other, but let's establish ground rules, maybe. If you leave the room, just lock the door behind you.
Well, then I'd lock myself out.
Presumably, you'd have a key.
You'd have a key to lock the door.
Well, apologies for not thinking through all this in the moment when I heard a woman scream outside.
Wake us up if there's some danger or something. Just wake us.
All right, I'll wake you up next time.
All right.
Do you guys want anything else to eat?
Just the check.
Where are we eating?
Who's paying for this?
Him.
He is.
He is.
I'll just leave it on the table. I'm going to make every single coin disappear.
Could I ask?
Point different.
I'll leave it here.
Ma'am, could I ask you a question before you go?
We only take cash.
What else? What?
I was asking about working on the wall there, and we're new to town. I'm just curious what happened there.
She kind of looks at you oddly. She's like, oh, an accident. We had a tree fell on it and caused a bit of damage. Anyways, I'll be right back.
Are we eating at the crayfish?
I don't know. No, you're at a bed and breakfast. You're in like a little breakfast spot. You're at the best breakfast spot in town.
7 gold for the meal.
Oh, I don't want to go to the best one.
It's called
it's not the best one.
It's a greasy spoon. Let's go to the worst.
You said you went out for breakfast, so
The best one is ham on the bone. The worst one is greasy spoon.
That's what I used to like to do. Like when I was going out to dinner, I was like, "What would you like to drink?" It's like, "Bring some of your worst wine, not necessarily the cheapest wine, just the one you like the least."
Let's
go to the worst breakfast spot.
Isn't there a rule of thumb that you want to choose like the second least expensive wine on the menu or something? Like there's some, like, I don't know, there's some thought process.
I kind of live by that rule.
Yeah, that's usually what I do. Yeah.
Second cheapest.
Yep.
No, because the cheapest is obviously the worst.
Yeah. When I look at a wine list, I don't look at the wine. I look at the prices. Yeah. And then I go left from there.
Right.
It's like one's $28 a bottle, one's $32, and one's $64. You get the
$32.
Yeah. Same with sake. I do the same thing.
Unless it's a special.
This whole time, I thought you knew what you were talking about.
No, I like certain sakes, but I'm not going to pick the most expensive one.
You always are very, like, you take charge.
Authoritative
in the ordering of sake. I always thought you knew what you wanted.
No, I like what I like. I like a Junmai, but anyway, I digress.
Hey.
Oh, well.
Hey.
All right.
Warwick is going to turn back to the table and be like, tree falling is not going to do that to a wall or a bunch of houses all at once.
People are saying the word accident too much. I don't like it.
I think one other order of business we should attend to is if we can find a map of the area. I want to keep heading north. I want to get home.
A map would be brilliant.
So if we can find someone who has an accurate, well-drawn map of the area.
That would be great. That would help a lot.
You could check the shops.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find, what's his name? Martin Gardock and his cart.
Right. I think that's going to answer a lot of questions for us. So the sooner we get going, the better.
Yeah, I don't want to stay here very long.
Are you ready? I think we should stay as a group, too. I got somebody I want to talk to, and I need you guys to come with me.
All right.
Thanks for picking up breakfast. And I get up.
I get up and I leave.
Oh, we're skipping out. How much is the bill?
300 gold.
No,
we're definitely skipping out.
No. That's why this is the worst breakfast place.
Yeah, the food was great.
They charged 300 gold.
You know, I imagine. So, what do we say? Rations were 3 silver.
Well,
five
we can,
silver for three. 5 silver for 3 rations. So,
you can refer to the menu. Again.
I think it's probably
the menu. Give me something good.
I think 12 silver seems accurate.
The whole
plain breakfast at the Inn of the Welcome Wench was 5 copper. An elaborate breakfast, on the other hand, was 2 silver pieces.
Oh, all right. So maybe mine is a little expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like it's probably like two.
Two silver.
2 silver. 5 copper each.
Yeah.
2 silver.
All right. Copper each. Yeah.
All right.
Silver. Hey, you might want a tip.
True.
There were no gratuities. There were no gratuities in a medieval fantasy.
To me, this is Europe fantasy.
In this two-episode-old show.
Everyone is new house rule, no gratuity. A fair living wage.
Yep. Yes.
In this town.
It is a fantasy world.
This poor, war bedraggled town.
Yeah. Also, she clearly lied right to our faces.
Oh, 1,000%. So everybody's lying.
So you start at 20%.
What are you going to test her? You say, put the tip on the table and everyone tells you a lie, you remove a copper piece?
Yeah, sounds good.
She did lie to us, so we shouldn't give her a tip.
Yeah, anytime a server lies to me.
It's the first thing I do.
It's like a percentage
point. Now you're down to 18%.
Ask them a question to which you know the answer and just...
Yep, I just keep testing them the whole meal.
What time is it?
Yesterday.
What?
14%.
Let's head to this, to Martin.
Yeah, let's talk to...
I'll put the 2 silver piece down. I'm tracking it. I put the 2 silver.
Well, you were the richest one, also because you won the money.
You don't know that. I put 2 silver.
You made a point of saying you look clean and well-fed.
You appear richer.
Maybe you do know that. I don't know.
You won that card game. You should have $1 million.
Maybe she's just...
That's what I think.
Maybe he's just a con man.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so you head over to... Martin Godrak's shop. It's a little cart. And you go over there and there's a stocky gentleman. He's got sort of this fanciful white beard. And he's not a dwarf. He's a human, but he's just like short and stocky. And he's going about like opening up the shelves of his cart. And you see there's like spices everywhere. And he sees you coming. He's like, just a moment. I'm almost ready. Just getting the rest of my spices set up for the day. It's a little
Hard here. I'm not used to setting this up. Is there something in particular you're looking for? I'm not quite ready, but I don't want to.
No, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. We're not looking at the shop at the moment. We understand that your business partner, Regina Spence.
Regina Spence.
Yes. Have you heard anything about her?
She's gone missing, and we were hoping to look into it for you.
Oh,
we were wondering if there might be like a reward. Not to be crass.
Mercenary about it.
I see. Yeah, I mentioned it to the town guard, but they're
not going to help you.
Yeah, no, they have a lot to do here, and so they couldn't do it. I didn't want to put up signs or anything because I thought maybe she'd come back. There's sort of rumors that she left, but I know Regina. She wouldn't just leave me here. We've been working together for some time. That's kind of you. What did you have in mind?
Well, rumor was that she headed north. Is that right?
Yes, she was heading up the northern road to see what was left of the area just beyond here. There was a
so that's the direction of the battlefield. That we
no, we were moving north from the battlefield.
North from the battlefield. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like an area,
maybe another battlefield.
But we really do need a map. So I can look.
Yeah, you really need a map.
But I think the battlefields are all around, right? But
the one we came from.
We came from one to the south.
Yeah,
Yes, there's evidently a spice trader up there, and she took our guard because it's dangerous out there. So I suppose anything could have happened to them. There's all sorts of strange rumors of what goes on beyond these walls.
Right, well, we were hoping that maybe finding out what happened to her or maybe even recovering some of the merchandise might be worth something to you.
Yes, I suppose we should get right down to it then. I guess I could offer you perhaps 80 gold pieces.
Holy shit.
And I just like that?
Holy shit, that's too low.
Yeah. Just completely freeze, like...
Yeah, all of us, I think, I've never heard of that much money before in my life.
Sane also freezes.
Wait, I meant 50. 50 gold pieces.
No.
I've...
80 plus, of course, a share of whatever we recover.
Yes, no, 10 gold pieces each is, I think, more than sufficient.
Wait, what happens to the 80?
This is a terrible negotiation.
I read the wrong number originally. It was meant to be 50.
We've lost money twice without saying anything.
25 gold should be enough.
It keeps getting worse.
We have to run! run, find her, bye!
Just give me 30 gold and go find her.
It's like, there's not even any time for counteroffers. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
It's to flee. We owe him.
I meant to say 50 and I said 80 out the gate, but that's still 10 gold a piece and even more if one of you perishes. Oh no, there's four of you.
Kate's gone.
So yeah. 50 gold.
50 gold.
50 gold.
50 gold piece.
Good for it. 50 gold. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We could do that.
I mean, obviously, I should state the obvious, but best case scenario, you retrieve them. If the worst happened, I would just need to know.
Yes.
I need to know so that I can, prepare myself to move on as best I can. But what I'm saying is I won't pay you without proof.
Were you too close?
Yes, we've worked together for some time. This recent unpleasantness out there in the world has made business a little more difficult, but there aren't many spice traders like us out here, and so we've done well for ourselves. We were able to hire our own guard, and, you know, this was kind of... I don't know. We just thought like things were going to go on great forever.
How many guards went with her?
Three.
You knew them?
Yes, they're good men. They've been with us for some time.
What are their names?
We take care of them, and they take care of us.
They've been with you for some time. What are their names?
Corvin, of course.
Corvin, yes.
Brion and Nelvin.
Corvin, Brion.
And Nelvin.
Yes.
Were they well armed?
It's going to be a long armored campaign. There's only so many names. They're going to meet a lot of Corvins.
You're going to run out of name. That's the other thing. It's like,
you're gonna
let's not forget, a lot of people in the world have the same name.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
It's not that crazy.
Corvin is like Mike in Shatterdark.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We already met a Mike.
You're lying. You're lying about your name.
Like there could be a second.
You didn't know them that well. You didn't even know their last name.
That's honestly one of my favorite parts about Game of Thrones. There's so many of the same first name that people have.
Yeah,
it's realistic. It feels very real.
I make it a little confusing reading it off the page, but it is more realistic.
They were three brothers. They all had the same last name.
Which was?
Lansingshire.
Lansingshire?
Nelvin Lansingshire?
Rolls right off the tongue.
Corvin Brion and Nelvin Lansingshire.
Yes. Brothers.
Yes. Brothers.
Right. Brothers.
And they were well armed, armored.
Yes, yes. You have to be if you're to go out there.
I assume horse?
No, they were traveling by foot.
All of them.
Yes, some of the land around here is swampy. It's safer to travel by foot.
So wait, how are they carrying the merchandise through? Just in
A cart.
A cart.
Yes. A push cart.
They were just pulling it themselves.
Yes.
Right.
Speaking of that,
if you find trace of the cart, let me know that as well, but I need to know what happened, or hopefully to retrieve them and bring them home. They could have been captured.
Could you provide us or point us to a place where we could find an accurate and well-drawn map of the area?
And current...
There's a cartographer... A little shop of antiquities.
Fantastic.
He owns it right over there.
Great.
What's his name?
You don't need to know everything.
Please stop.
But what's the name of the store, though? You got
maps and stuff.
Maps and stuff.
Correct. Amazing. I don't know how we missed it.
Is it apostrophe?
Honestly, it has almost everything you'll ever need.
Is it is it maps, apostrophe?
And apostrophe stuff, and, yes.
Okay. And
maps
stuff.
And stuff. And the proprietor is nameless.
He's never baptized.
Johann Nameless.
Johann Nameless.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And, all right.
We'll sit out.
All right. Thank you for taking an interest in this, and good luck to you. I hope that weeks from now, another group won't be coming looking for me to pay them to retrieve you. That would...
Well, you don't even know our names. So.
That's right. You asked me my name. I never got yours, and you do. And then you move on.
Okay, fine.
Okay, let's go to maps and stuff.
Okay.
Do you want? Can we not play role play maps and stuff, or do you want to do that?
You can role play maps and stuff a little bit.
We just want a map.
Welcome.
Ding ding.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Maps and Stuff.
Hello, Mr. Nameless.
Yes. Oh, you've heard of me.
You've been highly recommended. We were told that you might be able to provide us with a map of the region. What you might charge for something like that. Oh. We don't have a lot of money.
Well, I'm an honest salesman, as you will no doubt here if you ask anyone in town.
Nameless name carries a lot of weight.
My name is Denzar.
Denzar?
Yes, I
am. Oh, we were misinformed.
I'm a bit of an amateur cartographer, I should say, but I do my work not so much from sight, but from stories. The reason I'm hesitant at first to sell you a map of the area is that its accuracy is questionable, and that is not from my handiwork, but is just from the nature of the area. You are outsiders, yes? Were you part of this group that was recently let in?
Yes.
Yes,
we are new here, yeah?
Oh.
We also don't even know much about the land itself around here.
We're very much strange. This place is strange to us.
What do you mean the map is unreliable?
Why would we pay for an unreliable map?
Well, let me explain. And he goes... And starts reaching through papers, and he says, things are just different in the gloaming. And he pulls out a map and lays it on the fucking counter.
Nice.
Go to Foundry Virtual
Table.
And you see this.
Foundry. Oh, come on.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
This is the
general area that is sort of known as the Gloaming. It is a strange area, made all the more strange by these recent goings-on, wars and whatnot. I don't get involved. But it is a forest of sorts where the sort of veil between our world and another world is very thin. The abyss, hell, a darkness beyond mortal ken, whatever you want to call it. The land of demonkind. They can sort of seep in to this world here. It is a dangerous area that is very volatile. So when I say the map is unreliable, it's mainly because the world here changes sometimes. So this gives you the general area. There are pathways, as you can see, forests and whatnot. But the only way to really know the Gloaming is to explore it. I think that this should be a good starting point for you, and you know, I will obviously sell this map to you if you are interested, and you know, perhaps I could even offer you some coin or you to help corroborate some information you find along the way. Could be a gift for me as well for future maps that I sell. If you discover things out there and are lucky enough to return, you let me know and I'll draw my little palisades and whatnot. Yeah, you can even see I already drew Marin's Hold. And I will put the party token on Marin's Hold.
Oh.
And this is cardinal from where we are. So north, south.
North, south, east, and west.
The whole, I can see the hexes now.
Yep.
So, oh my gosh, cool. I see the party in the token.
Oh my gosh, look at us.
That's amazing.
We're walking.
So you can always see one hex away from where you are. And depending on where you go as you travel, it will start to reveal more on this map.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is so cool.
So this road kind of through this valley up here is the roads to the north, presumably, that Martin was talking about, right?
Presumably, yes. That is the road to the north
and
that
then if we
Regina allegedly took. And then, yes, over that little footbridge, there's a pathway leading to the west that you could even ask him. Oh, yes, Wardenwood. Yes, Wardenwood lies somewhere to the west, right at the edge of the lake, I believe.
What's the lake called?
Oh, the lake. You know the lake. Are you really that new here? He stalled while looking at his notes. It's Finnemere Lake.
Finnemere. I assume it was important, but maybe not now.
Yes, Finnemere Lake. There's a little island on there, and you know, you'll see that to the south here, it is a very marshy, swampy area, tough to traverse. Yes, you might call it difficult terrain. It'll slow you down should you go down in that direction. The paths in the forest, I can't tell you what is better. Some of the paths might be just as dangerous as the forest, as people wait for unsuspecting travelers in the brush just to jump out and get them. But the forests are equally dangerous. That's why I'm happy to sell you this map, but just being honest, if I were you, I'd hang it up on the walls of your new abode and stay in Marin's Hold. You'll be mostly safe here.
Sorry to say we have business outside the town walls.
But this is sort of like horrible news.
What?
That we're in a region where the line between reality and hell is fraying.
Well, I was going to ask.
I mean, assuming that he's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, is he exaggerating?
He's listened to too many stories from
travelers.
I think
he's trying to sell up.
Yeah, how are we to take it?
You don't want this map, do you?
Well, no. We've been out in this part of the world for some time now. Have we
seen anything like that?
Have we heard of this ever once before?
Yeah. No, you have not, and you have not seen anything.
It does seem terrifying.
You just recently came into this particular area. If you see where you're positioned on the map, who knows how you actually got here, but you didn't spend that much time. You're probably spent three days.
And we really, don't know this part of the world at all.
No.
Like, we're all...
I think it's more interesting that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so... My impression was that, we've known how horrible this area is, but we don't know at all.
No, and I will say, the nights that you had leading up to this, when you first entered this area that you now know is called the Gloaming,
there were horrible experiences at night where you heard things.
You heard
where
like,
you thought you saw things.
Like a Blair Witch kind of.
Yeah, just like very, very creepy. But, you know, maybe just as if you, as you were.
Okay, great. Yeah. I just really just wanted to get
that
sense
is
of,
important recontextualization.
Yeah, totally.
I think Saint, one thinks this guy's kind of a con man, has a faulty map and is trying to sell it to us by giving us like a ghost story where it's like the map always changes. And he's like, all right. But he asks, feeling a bit of this fear of what is this actual area that we're in. He says, so what's the nearest town?
That would be Wardenwood.
And then after that?
It's pretty much it as far as I know, but the world has changed.
If we were to travel north and leave the Gloaming, would we encounter any other towns or settlements along the way?
You would encounter groups, but not so much towns.
How big is the Gloaming?
It's pretty large, although some say the size is ever-changing. Is it growing outward? Is it contracting? It's all wives' tales.
How much is the map?
75 gold.
You can bill it to Martin Gordock.
Yeah.
No. Expenses.
I'll tell you.
Attention, Martin Gordock.
This map is...
I owe you.
It's 3 gold pieces.
Oof. 3 gold? Same kind of boffs.
Or you can just roll an intelligence check and end up in a random hex as you go along.
Or perhaps we might earn ourselves a discount by offering our services as guides and... cartography assistance.
Well, now we're doing business together. Yes, yes, I like this. So perhaps 1 gold now, and you come back with information, and I don't charge you extra. Or 3 gold now, and I give you gold back when you come. That one sounds better for me.
Do we have 1 gold?
Pharaoh like reaches in his pouch, and he like thinks about it. He looks at it. The coinage in his hand, and he like takes a deep breath and lays it down on the counter, 3 gold pieces.
Oh, perfect. He reaches out his little meaty paw. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, I'll put this aside, and should you come back with some information, I could give you 1 gold back and a bevy of information. I could even give you that 2nd gold back. And then we're partners. Yes, we're partners in this. This is wonderful. People are always asking for more complete maps, and now I'll have more information, and it won't be as costly for you. And look at the world as your oyster.
Perhaps you could throw in a bit of rations or some traveling equipment to help smooth our journey then.
Oh, but of course, yes. If you're going to travel beyond these walls, you'll need this. And it's a torch.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh. Just kidding.
would never be exciting in any other system.
Yeah, right.
It's like, a torch.
A torch. The most valuable item.
17 of these in my backpack.
Yes.
No. Let me ask you, before we leave maps and stuff.
Yes.
Warwick, are you... What are you wielding?
Maps and stuff.
What are you wielding?
A spear.
Are you happy with a spear?
No, but a sword is 10 gold.
Because I feel like we can lay down the gold to get you a sword.
You have 10 gold?
I do, right? What else am I going to... What else did I spend it on?
Oh, I didn't know you had 10 gold.
I rolled...
I didn't know you had...
I should be robbing these men.
Kills you on the spot. Takes my map
you
and
in
my
the
money.
Night.
But like, I don't know how we run a roleplay. So like, we all are pooling our money to buy a sword or whatever. You don't have any armor either.
No.
Oh, you could just, if you leave maps and stuff and you see the armor across the way, or you see Warwick just sort of staring longingly at the armorer's shop, you could catch that.
I mean, that's why I was
passive aggressively trying to get us to buy.
I don't think he would say anything. I think that it's...
Oh, I wish I had a sword.
Oh, man.
You know, I think, you know, if you ask, like, is there anything we can get you to...
Anything else we need? Because honestly, like, you're, like, I think Ellison
how much coin
sees
do we have?
You as...
He was surprised that Pharaoh pulled out 3 gold in the cartographer. Yeah. Like, he's shocked at the amount of money you guys have.
I
right
think
now.
We...
I have 16 gold.
I think we might have, like, stumbled on...
I think
like
we stumbled
cash
on...
cash or something.
Yeah, that's why why he was able... Like, Ellison was able to pay for this room last night.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe... Well, maybe, like, you would ask him, it's just like, you wouldn't be able to spare a sword. He's just like, no, of course not. And then it's like, then we would think, like, oh, well...
Or maybe that's cool.
Or maybe the better way to role play it is that we found a sword. and we have a sword that we'll just, and we'll like effectively pay for it, and then we'll be like, here, you wield this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. That way it seems weird.
That's like one of the things is the items that we found
that's
that represents
and held on to.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to be like hard scrabble survival mode.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Buying a 10 gold piece sword seems extravagant. But
yeah, maybe you guys have a sword, but you're not much good with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's like you should, let's do that. That's
so probably. I give up five, you give up five.
Right. And we'll have a sword.
Okay.
You can sell the spear too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Sell back the spear.
Well, would you want armor? We could also say,
I don't have a lot left. I have 4 gold left.
I have 11 gold. How much does a suit of armor cost?
I think leather is 10, right?
I think it is, yeah.
If you'd let me take some photographs of you, I could.
Oh my God, these freaking people you make up in your head are so messed up.
Any role play, we stay in for too long.
I'm a bit of an amateur portrait artist. I wonder if you wouldn't mind sitting for me in my studio. Yeah.
That's bad.
I'm more of a...
Lots of ways to earn gold in this town.
I'm a student of the human form. Would you mind removing your cloak?
Oh my God.
The line here is between hell and earth is thin indeed.
The veil between humanity and gravity is...
Yes, leather armor is lying. 10.
10 gold.
10 gold.
I mean, I have gold, but are you talking to Saint?
No, I think we're effectively saying, like, this is stuff we found. Like, it's starting gold, like, but I make... and. Joe's good for it.
You feel weird buying your new friend a gift.
Yeah. No, he feels weird that like he's starting the adventure with all this loose cash when we're supposed to be really like on the edge.
Yeah.
But I won't, but also like
this is just because this is character creation gold.
Right.
We looked into it. I was like, well, maybe my guy would have a potion or something, but those are so expensive that it would.
Those are crazy expensive.
So it was like the most reasonable thing to have is a weapon, even if I can't use it. So like buying a sword or like saying we found one or a suit, like a pack of armor. A pack of armor.
Pack of armor.
A pack of armor.
A six pack, like boxers.
Six pack of armor.
A pack of armor.
It's about
like
Batman.
Like chainmail shirts, like pop one off.
Wait, are those V-neck or no?
Pack of armor.
Haynes makes good armor.
So that's it. Why don't we just say that, like you and I, we came upon some gold and a sword and a suit of leather.
Maybe
armor.
like a slain hedge knight.
Slain hedge knight.
And he was injured somewhere else, like wandered away and like died in solitude. And we happened across his body before any other scavengers got to it.
Yeah.
How much gold of mine do you need?
Well, if we want to split it evenly, it would be, I mean, 3, 3, and I'll do 4.
Okay.
Yeah. For armor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Then that would leave me with 1 gold, 1 precious gold.
So you're like trying to suit up and whatnot. And you're looking at this pathetic guy and you're like, we have some stuff.
I think we were like probably planning to sell it, but like now
it was like you wear this and you can buy it from us eventually, whatever, we'll give it to you for a fair rate, but for now wear it and earn it, keep us safe.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
Can Saint, while they're maybe they're like leaving the maps and stuff shop and talking about like gathering their equipment and whatever, I'd like to slide Denzar a silver and say, there's a lot of accidents in this town. I don't let him grab it yet. I'm just holding it.
Excited.
There's a lot of accidents in this town.
Well, it's a dangerous place.
Right.
Glooming, that is.
What happened to the wall?
Oh. The wall. Ugh. Hard time remembering.
I like lift a finger off the silver, push it a little closer, and then put a finger on it again.
And so you both have your finger on it. Well, not something we're supposed to talk about, really, with outsiders, especially. We don't want to scare anyone off.
We're not outsiders.
You're not here.
We're not there.
We're
outside the the store.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
We are outsiders.
We are outsiders.
They're outsiders. I'm inside your shop.
It's a bit of a mandate, as it were. We don't want people to think that this place isn't safe, but seeing as you're eager to learn and sounds like you're leaving anyways.
And we're partners.
And we're partners, yes. Most important of all. There was a unfortunate attack recently on the palisade and the town.
half a dozen demons, Skrell demons, I believe they're called, came and breached the walls and slew several of our inhabitants. Horrible business, terrible. The guards were able to drive most of them off. All of them, actually. None of them perished. But we've been rebuilding ever since, and trying to rebuild the hearts of those who... And he just slides the coin to himself.
Let's go.
Those who suffered personal losses. It's a difficult time to be alive.
That's the truth. What's a Skrell demon?
I don't know. Nasty little creatures, long claws. I'm lucky to say that I had never seen anything like it. And when I heard the screeches, I peered out my window for but a moment before I hid under my bed. Heard stories about it the next day, but Reeve Winters made it clear that it was something not to be talked about, so I would appreciate if you kept it amongst yourselves. Yes. Seeing as we're partners. Yes.
Mm. Mum's the word.
Right. If that word gets out, I don't know who said it.
What was my name again?
I didn't catch it.
Right. Nice to meet you, Denzar.
Denzar Washington.
That's your name. Denzar Washington.
You didn't have to say anything at all.
She didn't ask. He didn't ask.
Denzar Washington.
You literally didn't even ask for your name.
Cool.
A bad not giving it to you.
Denzar Washington, who owns maps and stuff.
Proprietor of
no relation. No relation.
No relation.
To George Washington.
To George Washington.
Good luck out there.
All right. Should we go talk to your dude?
My friend.
Your friend?
Yeah.
And then set out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
So who's this friend of yours?
We're walking to like the crayfish. Not my friend.
What's his name?
Don't know.
What's he look like?
Like a guy. I'll know him when I see him. And they get to the crayfish.
I'll think of a name during this break.
Perfect use of a commercial break.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlotta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
Ah, the Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or as the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
We're back. You are leaving confines of maps and stuff to head to the Crayfish Tavern in the hopes that you run into this fellow from last night. All right, I'm going to roll luck die. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, he's there. 4, 5, 6, he's not there. Yeah. He's not there.
Wait a minute. Are you doing this by the book? Wait. You're just making this up as you go?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
Well,
there's a 1, 2, 3. Do you have them right?
Well, in this moment, yes. God damn it. There might be a book way of doing it,
But it is it
me
is,
looking at the book instead it of just calling say, it before I roll it.
Yeah, it's fine. But it does say
around here we do things by the book, LaValle.
I just lose cannon. I just liked the entry because it was like a result of 1, 2, 3 is like favorable to the players. Or
yeah, I know that. What you're looking yeah, at. Yeah. I was just making the call on the fly, but now I won't be able to sleep tonight. I'm not going to change my response because I said before I rolled 1, 2, 3 this, 4, 5, 6 this. But being a nerd. I need to know the truth.
Gotta find the truth.
Anyways, he's not there.
Oh,
okay. While I look for the truth.
A 1 to 3 results in a worse outcome for the players. I knew it. 4, 5, and 6, which you rolled, is the better one.
Okay. Well, now we know.
For next time.
Now we know.
Now we know.
Yeah, we open the door, I look around, I come back out. He's not in there.
Well, I think we better head out while we still got the light.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust him anyway. Anyone that's telling you they know details of a bandit camp is a bandit themselves. Probably stab us in the back.
Well, that is definitely what will happen, regardless. But I thought maybe I could get some coin off him before we left. All right.
Right. Well, we've got a map. We know the road that Regina went up. Let's check it and see what we can find.
North first, then west?
North first, then home, or back here, then to get our money from Martin. And then we can decide if we want to what we want to do next.
All right.
Also, we may all be dead.
Mm-hmm. Might all be dead.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about hex travel, since it seems like you're actually going to do this. I would say under normal conditions, you can travel 8 hours per day. In order to go beyond that, you have to pass increasing con checks to push further beyond 8 hours. That's straight from the book. These hexes are going to be 6 miles across, which is 4 hours walking. So, you know, you can basically cross 2 hexes a day. It's 8 hours.
Okay.
Then you got to camp. You know, there's a marsh area to the south. I think that you should walk slower through there, which would be difficult terrain, which is 2 times, which would be like 1 hex a day if you want to go to the south. That makes the most sense to me, just to give some variation here. And obviously, I'll be rolling for random encounters at a certain pace throughout your journey.
I love this.
Wow. That's amazing.
And you will see as you travel, depending on what hexes you move into, monuments and strange things will appear on the map that may want you to lead you to go in a different direction.
Okay.
Shout out to our sponsor for making a mod to one of the modules that allows us to do that.
So cool.
Yeah, so cool.
I think based off the map, we should go directly north. We'll hit the road if we just go directly north 2 spaces.
Yeah, she was traveling on the road, so we should go the way she traveled.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean we'll hit the road if we just go north, so we might as well just go north.
Well, we skip some of the road.
Right.
Like if we go northeast, we go straight to the road.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it's kind of takes longer then. As the crow flies.
But we also want to like
we should go the
check
way she
every
went.
Part of the road.
Okay.
Because we don't know where she might have gotten jumped or
yeah. So we go northeast.
I mean, I think it's more likely that
northeast than north.
And then north.
Yeah, northeast than north.
Okay.
It also looks like there's a little valley there, like a ridge that the road is running through. So maybe we get into that valley first.
I like that. And so in game, we literally leave Marin's hold and just like follow that road.
Yeah.
Just like straight out of the town.
And we all link arms.
Yeah. And we skip.
And we skip. There's a lion and a guy made out of tin.
Yeah. You just made me think that like rations are important and I don't have any. So
you don't have any rations?
No, I didn't have any money. No, I did have some rations, but I actually got rid of those to start for flavor's sake, but I think it was important. So
let's buy some.
So yeah, I think I would just need to buy some rations, but that's 5 silver pieces.
Do you have money?
Go back to maps and stuff?
No, I don't have any money.
maps and
you guys are good. How many rations does everybody have?
I have three.
I have 3 days of rations. Okay.
So let's buy more and you hold them.
Yeah, that's fine. So do you want to just spend like 1 gold on rations and that's 6 rations and I'll hold them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do great. That. Saint will come back with rations. And like hands them to you. It doesn't say anything. Just hands them
to you.
Just
like stuffs them into this big, this big oversized backpack.
Yeah. What's your, how many gear slots do you have with your strength?
17.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's strength plus con for fighters because of haul.
Oh, right.
Hauler ability.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this because there's a lot of crunch to this that will seem pedantic at first and then it will just be second nature. But obviously, I'm going to be rolling random encounters every X amount of hours, okay? And then when your day ends and you need to camp, there are random encounters that could happen while you're camping. And oh, on top of that, if you want to make a campfire, you need,
which we do.
It says in many cases, adventurers need a light source while resting that may stave off, you know, predators. It may also alert you to other things, things you have to decide. You can combine three torches into a campfire that can't be moved once lit, and it lasts up to 8 hours while at least one character remains near to it.
Also, so how many torches do we have? I have one.
You only have one?
Yeah.
Were you I only have one.
I have two from my crawling kit.
And we got one.
So
from
crawling kit comes with two torches.
But does that, do we need to do that? Like, we're in a forested area. Like, do we need torches?
Can we make to a torch?
Not even make a torch. Can we just like build a fire?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. I mean, I say like we're passing through like the Gobi Desert and we need to make a fire, we would use torches.
Or if we're camping in a dungeon.
Yeah.
Or you know, yeah, no, exactly.
That's a perfect use. But we're
in the wilderness. I don't think we need
torches. You've got high wisdom, right?
We have we have flint and steel and wood.
Yeah. And I'm a nature guy. So,
I think if that's okay with you, Trey, I feel like we should be able to roll to make a fire.
Make a fire, yeah.
While we're outside in the forest. In the
so that makes sense to me. It's like if you're in a place where wood is readily available, you should be able to at least roll to see if you can start a fire because why not roll? That's always fun. And I might roll to be like, no, it rained out. And so you got to roll with disadvantage. Who knows? But if you're in a cave or in an area where wood isn't really readily available, three torches make a campfire.
Cool.
Yep.
And it does say like, even if you're outside at night, you're rarely in total darkness. So you still have the moonlight, maybe a disadvantage, who knows? But like if something jumps you in the middle of the night, you have a lot of problems beyond the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy. And you have the light spell.
And I do, yeah.
Well, how long does that last?
An hour.
Same as torch.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, my D6 is going to be like, all the edges are going to be frayed by the end of this game.
Rolling.
That video of a guy that like tries to kick a stone into a sphere.
Yes, into a sphere.
Yeah.
And it's like day 500.
I didn't know you could do it.
He's doing it.
He just kicks it for hours a day.
Into a what?
Into a sphere. He's trying to kick.
He's kicking a rock to make it rounder and he just kicks it down the street hours.
And it's like day 100 and whatever. And it's almost completely spherical. And he'll put it on something that measures how perfect a sphere it is. That's what my D6 is going to look like eventually. This is going to roll.
Be a marble.
You stop rolling?
A marble.
They have rock tumblers for that purpose.
Yeah. Makes me want to start kicking rocks.
Hey, kick rocks.
All right. I think you should
go kick rocks.
If I walked home, that thing would be a sphere. All right. So, Japers, we're doing this. Did you get some extra torches?
Yeah,
we do. We bought the stuff.
We bought some extra torches.
A torturous number of torches.
And we also have light. The light spell as a backup. Spell. So I feel like.
Okay.
And most importantly, I saved you the role play from torches and stuff.
Thank you. Yes, which he also owns.
Which he also owns.
He owns rations and stuff, torches and stuff.
No.
And he's also got his sketch portraiture business.
Yes. Yeah.
He's quite the entrepreneur.
You'd like to pose for a few pictures. Right.
That's in the back room.
Can you imagine we just add that as a mechanic? It's like, we need a little extra gold.
Thing is, when you go back there's no paint.
I go sit with Denzar.
For a photo sesh.
Where's the easel?
Shut up. Just turn around. Don't look at my face.
Where do you want to go? You got obviously six different options.
We're going to go to the northeast hex and then
to the northeast hex.
Right. We'll
let's see what happens. Let's see what we see.
That's true.
It's going to open up more.
Go.
I want to see this in action.
Can we move it? Can I move it?
No, I don't trust you guys. All right, so let's move.
There's a settlement.
All right, so you now see, now that I've moved the hex, you see Marin's Hold there. But yes, to the southeast, you see in the distance what looks like a castle.
Whoa. Okay.
This is the point in the video game where I would immediately go on a side quest. Yeah. I would immediately stop what I'm doing and go to the castle.
I would immediately save the game.
It would immediately save the game. That's
before I do anything else at this point.
Let's save right here.
I don't care about saves coming. I'm quick saving right now.
I think let's stick to our mission for now. We can always retreat to the castle.
Let's download some mods where we all have flamethrowers.
Saint is like picking his nail, and he just is staring at that castle as we walk further away from it, thinking like, what could be inside that castle?
I mean, it looks...
What is that? It's so close. How is it not on his map?
I had no one mention it.
It's not... I think it's ruins. I think it's crumbling, right?
From the art, it kind of looks like it.
Yeah, it looks like... does look like ruins of a castle, a once great castle.
Cool. All right, let's stick to the plan for now.
Yeah.
Make a note. Yeah, yes. Put it on the map.
Yeah, make a note. We mark it.
Denzar would like to know about that.
Bastard didn't even know it was a ruined castle 4 miles away from his hometown.
It's one less portrait we have to sit through.
Good. All right,
so you want to go
north.
Straight north, and then this would be towards the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Then we have to camp.
So we go straight north.
Okay.
This is cool. All
right, so you go straight north.
Oh, my God.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Skeletons!
Do they look like brothers?
But it's not in our hex. It's far to the distance.
It's miles to the a few miles to the north. Yeah. Off the road. North,
you see like stakes coming out of the ground.
Jeez.
Like with looks like something hanging on them.
Oh shit.
But
the sun is going down.
Yeah, let's
going down.
Oh man, what a creepy image that would be like.
That's all right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Yeah, sleep well.
As you're walking towards the latter half of the first day, you see, God, this is so scary.
Yeah.
You see campfire.
Where the stakes are?
No, like...
In our hex.
In our hex.
In your hex.
Oh, in our hex.
Right near us now.
In the distance.
Well,
we should...
Sorry, real quick, is it on, like, just to the side of the road?
It'd be just to the side of the road in the woods.
Why don't you go, take a look?
All right.
We have no idea what they're about, so...
Maybe we...
Stay out of sight. Don't get seen.
I'll go alone. I'll come back. By the way, the town has demons.
Wait, what?
I'll be right back.
Wait. What?
What was that?
And he
did
just...
He see?
They're all demons.
All right, give me a...
Let's go.
Give me a dex roll with advantage here just to see if they hear you coming.
Just while you're doing it, I think this is only contributing to my sense of unreality, right? To know that, all the something I had not, there are demons that have overlaid with this reality.
Yeah.
Just since the world has become fundamentally...
Has become somewhere we don't recognize.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to tell you guys at campfire time at camp, but now I feel like
she might
get into a combat. So by the way,
die, so.
There are demons.
Yeah.
16.
Okay. You quietly move through the forest to come around.
And I have my bow.
You have your bow. And you see seven people sitting around a campfire eating. They're cooking something over the fire, and they're all eating.
No talking?
Maybe some light talking. How close are we getting?
How close am I right now?
About 50 feet away.
50 feet.
It's pretty close.
I could probably hear.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. Fucking asshole.
They're not talking like this.
I'd like to.
My, this meat is delicious. More human, please.
The best part is between the thumb and the forefinger.
We call that the oyster.
Is there any place of elevation compared to where we are right now? Like the road.
Say, you know what? 1, 2, 3, yes.
No, the other way.
1, 2, 3, no.
All right, 4, 5, 6. No.
Fuck.
No elevation.
I think it was the reverse.
Just said the other way.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it's all very flat here. It's all like heavily forced. You feel pretty safe back here. You could probably get even a little closer.
I think Saint will kind of get down and crawl very slowly to just hear. He doesn't even need to necessarily see, but just to hear.
It's like the Call of Duty ghillie suit mission.
Yeah. I'm in like forest shrubbery.
Yeah.
Okay. So they appear to be human. They're not dressed in like fancy armor or anything. You see some weapons, nothing fancy. And looks like they caught an animal that they're roasting over the fire. And they're just talking about like mundane stuff. Like, what's the plan for tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. We'll have enough meat to get us through the next day or so, but then we'll have to hunt some more.
Men?
Men, couple women.
Humans?
He says they seem
like
human.
Humans, yep. Size, the couple that you've seen, like, did you get a real good look at their face? Humans.
No horses?
No horses.
No carts?
No carts.
Okay. So he'll hang to listen, doesn't hear any, like, pertinent information sticking out, no names or anything, and then he'll backward crawl until he's out of their sight line, and then he'll get up and sneak back.
Okay. What do you tell your compatriots?
He comes back up behind you guys.
Ah!
Shh!
Scared the hell out of me.
What did you mean about demons?
Yeah, what was that about? You can't say that.
I'll get back to that. I just wanted to tell you.
You'll get back to that.
What's worse?
There's seven people up ahead. They have a campfire. They're cooking food. Men and women. They seem all human.
Soldiers?
Doesn't look like it.
Ordos?
Can't tell. Couldn't see coloring or insignia. Some of them have armor. Some of them have weapons. No carts, no horses.
So quality of the armor, could you tell? Weaponry?
Nothing looked fancy.
What was their facial hair like?
Scruffy.
Unkempt.
I mean, have you looked in a mirror?
My beard is very well kept.
You look great.
After that bath, he's extremely kempt.
Yeah, true.
I'm so kempt.
And then he kind of crouches down back to the demons.
Well, we either have to talk to him or we don't light a fire tonight.
There could, sounds could easily be bandits. I don't think we should light the fire. I don't think we should risk it. We can't go any further. The sun's going down.
I didn't like what Denzar Washington suggested would happen in the dark.
I didn't like that. I mean, we've heard and seen some strange things.
We have.
Since we've come into these lands.
The tree falling on the wall is a lie. I asked Denzar about it. He said it was demons. I don't believe in demons. I don't even know what they would be, what they would look like, but he said it's a Skrell demon. Never heard of that in my life.
Skrell demon?
Skrell demon. Would I have heard of a Skrell demon? I'm pretty smart.
Do you study demons?
I'm widely read.
You're widely read? Yeah, I think it's safe to say that you may have heard of a Skrell demon. I think they're more like imps. They're not like giant demons. They fly.
Oh.
They're like flying reptilian demons with long claws. Kind of like, you know, dark. I think of them as like Dark Souls, the things that take you away. Is it Dark Souls 3 when they come flying in and they bring you to Anor Londo? Yeah.
They're like leathery.
You know those things? Yeah, yeah, like leathery wings, gaunt.
Like dragon-esque, except they're so gaunt and like...
Mm.
Like... Yeah.
They take you to Anor Londo, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
They, like, bring you to...
Oh, they do. Also, they take you a few places in the over the course of the
game. It sounds like the alien race from the movie Forbidden Planet.
Well, I think that we hike off the road here a bit. I mean, do you think there's any chance that these are the ones that jump the caravan?
It could be. Could easily be.
They didn't seem to have anything on them.
Did they have any horses?
No horses.
They might have information.
They might be like us. I mean, it could be a lot of things. I'm all in favor of not talking to them, to be honest.
I don't think we risk it. There's seven of them. There's four of us.
Yeah, they outnumber us. I don't want to go through the night without a fire.
I know, but what are you going to do?
We can't.
I mean, we could roll a constitution check and try to move another hex.
Away from them?
Yeah, or further along.
You want to flip a coin?
I mean, what happens if we fail the con check?
You're going to be fatigued.
Right.
You will, you know.
And what happens if we sleep without a campfire?
You know, sleep without a campfire, you know, you just won't have light if something attacks you in the middle of the night, you know. So you might you might be fine, you might not be, depending on the level of the moonlight, depending on what hour.
You've got magical light. It takes, this is something we encountered in my game in Nashville. Like, lighting a torch in combat is not particularly easy. You have to roll a check.
Yeah. Right. So,
if we get jumped, you're going to have to get that spell off. All right. Well, why don't we just try to we kind of make our camp a little farther away from them and go
on the opposite side of the road, like deeper into the woods.
Yeah,
but not move a hex or do move.
No,
a hex.
Stay in the hex.
Stay in the hex.
Okay.
Just make a camp, no fire, and risk it.
Yeah.
Take turns.
Agreed.
Do a
yep. If something happens, we agree to wake up. I should take
the first watch though, because if I do have to use a light spell. I'll have that. I still have it for today.
Yeah,
and tomorrow I'll have another one, so I should use it.
That's a good idea. All right.
And maybe once the sun comes up, we could pass them on the road. Maybe ask them if they saw anything.
Could do. I would always try to run away.
And I think maybe if we approach during the day, they won't be as frightened. Yeah. Won't be maybe as prone to attack.
I mean, they could just be travelers on the road,
they
same
could,
as us.
That could be. I don't want to be cynical, but just have to be cautious.
Yeah.
And you and I know that.
It's true.
Pharaoh's right.
All right, let's get some sleep.
Let's go sleep.
Sleep with my dagger.
So will we reduce our rations?
Yeah, reduce your rations by one. Obviously, you get three per pack, so just rations by one. If you get interrupted during your sleep, you have to roll a check. Otherwise, you consume the ration and don't gain the benefits of rest. Oof. Which, right now, is okay. Out. You haven't spent any spells. You haven't lost any hit points. But over time, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you should roleplay it. It's like you didn't sleep. You got something attacked in the middle of the night. I wonder if anything is going to come after you. You guys set the watch.
I'm first watch.
I'll go second.
Okay.
Just in case I have to cast a spell.
And I'll wake up early and do the rest of it.
Okay. You go to bed. Night two of our adventure.
Night two of our adventure.
Yep. And the night passes without incident.
God. This is so fucking tense. This is really like... Oh, man.
Yeah. It's sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes every 2 hours something could come after. Yeah. Like it's just, and we'll see what we'll see how it plays out for our group.
What our environment's like.
Yeah, that is just straight rolls. Now I want to let the system do the talking. You wake up, you gather your things, and as you set out, you see that other group got out a little bit before you, and they're ahead of you on the path. Walking in the same direction.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Do they notice us?
I don't think so. I think you were careful enough. No, they don't notice you.
And now that we're walking behind them, they're far enough ahead, they don't notice.
Yeah, so you could approach them and get the jump. You are outnumbered.
I think we approach them. And just...
In a friendly way.
Yeah.
Right.
Hail them.
See if they heard anything or seen anything on the road.
Hailing frequencies open.
Hailing frequencies open.
Okay. Who wants to talk? And keep in mind, I'm going to add your charisma modifier to their reaction.
I think I have the highest charisma.
You certainly have a higher one than me.
What's your charisma?
It's 14.
Nice.
Okay, I love this mechanic. So you'll talk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll add your charisma bonus to what I roll to see what their reaction is.
Okay.
But the way I'm going to play it is I'm going to set the reaction and I'm going to modify it by your charisma roll.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Hold there!
And they stop and they turn around slowly one by one by one, and They kind of put their hands on their weapons suspiciously.
I have my hands up in the air.
That's far enough.
No, of course.
What's your business here on the road?
We're traveling north. We're seeking a lost merchant from the town, from Marrow. What was it, Marrow's?
Marin's.
Marin's Hold.
No lost merchants here.
No, we want to make sure. No, there are bandits about. We just wanted to gauge your attitude towards civilians.
Bro, what's your charisma?
It's plus two, 14.
Plus two? We haven't come across any bandits, thankfully. We did run afoul of some wolves and lost some of our number. We're from a village to the east called Treefall, or once called Treefall. It's gone. It's gone. We are seeking asylum somewhere. A village was raised.
Well, you're going the wrong direction, man. You go back the way we're coming down the road to Marin's Hold. They're taking refugees. That's how we got there.
They take all comers.
Yes. I mean, look at us. They took us in.
We have women and children.
Yes, of course. All are welcome.
This is no funny business.
No, of course. We'll stand back. Don't worry about us. In fact, here.
And I take my last gold.
Oh.
And I say, look, it's a gesture. And I toss it and stand back.
It lands in the dirt at his feet and he picks it up. Thank you, stranger. A blessing upon you and your friends. You say it's just this way to the south, southwest?
Right, it's just that way. As a matter of fact, you're going to laugh. Like, we saw you last night. We were terrified, like shaking in our boots. We slept with no fire, like off the road. We were terrified you were bandits or bad men. It's just, honestly, I think we're all relieved to see that you're just normal folk like us. So.
Yeah, it's good to know that it's not all evil out here.
No.
All right, just to the south, we can make it there.
You can make it there. It's start of the day. They've got plenty of time. I think you might take 2 days, I suppose. Okay. But you'll get there. Just follow the road.
All right, thank you. Thank you all. And they just gather up, and this group of seven villagers just walk by you.
Yeah.
They look at you, kind of smiling and nodding their heads.
We'll be on our way back. Yeah.
Little children.
Hopefully soon.
They have children?
Yeah, there's two women.
I was going to ask you about that.
Little children, and they're smiling and thing. And they point at you wow, warriors.
Hello, I'm waving. Hello. It's like, Geed preserve you.
And they pass on.
Whew, I didn't think.
That was great.
I can't believe I gave them the last of my gold.
Gave them the last of your gold?
I did. That was it. That was all I'm skint now. I've got nothing left.
Alms.
I'm going to need alms now. I'm just so glad.
I know. I think we're all relieved, right? It was
Yeah. All right. Well, that's one less threat, I guess, we've got to worry about.
And he's watching them pass maybe over a hill and then down the road to a point where we don't see them anymore. And he's like, I hope they'll be all right. I'm not sure if maybe we should have gone.
Well, they could always push themselves and get there tonight.
Could get there.
Get there before nightfall.
Get there tonight. Still early.
Yeah.
They made it this far.
Yeah. All right.
Let's keep moving.
Okay. Where are you going?
Do you want to head north to the spike?
Oh, yeah. Do we want to check? I mean, is it only three? Is the picture representative, or is it?
Yeah, it looks like three large spikes coming out of the ground. At first, they look just like trees, but you realize, from this distance, especially now that's the day, you can see it.
They could be the brothers. Sydney's curious.
Yeah,
they could.
This could easily be. I mean, we're out here looking for evidence of what happened.
Yeah,
this could be evidence of something that happened.
And it's daytime. I think we should go there daytime. In the daytime, and then we can move north again,
closer, carefully.
Get back on the road.
Get back on the road.
Yeah, so we'll go to that hex.
Okay.
Day three. You head out this hex. You head north another 6 miles. And as you approach, you see a mound rising up out of the ground. It's kind of like in the shape of a boot. And at the ankle part of the boot, there are three large stakes in the ground overlooking the forest. And there are three scorched skeletons lashed to the three stakes. And we'll see you next
time. Oh, no.
Completely lost track
of time. That snuck up on me.
I'm like,
that fucking snuck up
like
on me.
Like a physical.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm so pissed. I have to stop.
I want to go in there right now.
This game's awesome.
Welcome and enter if you dare. Hi, I'm Hallie Kiefer.
And I'm Allison Leiby. And together, we're the hosts of Ruined, a scary movie podcast where Hallie tells me the grisly details of a haunting new horror film each week.
Whether you're a terror hound like me or a scaredy cat like Allison, we've got so many thrills, chills, and obviously kills to share with you in every episode.
It's the podcast that'll have you saying, "That was so funny. I should not have listened to it at night with all the lights off."
From the greats like The Exorcist and Poltergeist to modern classics such as Hereditary and Get Out to the freakiest new releases like A Quiet Place and Terrifier, we ruin them all and we'll leave you howling, mostly from laughter, sometimes because you're turning into a werewolf.
Ooh. Listen along as I try and guess the movie's twist, predict who will survive, and answer the hardest question of all. What would you do?
So please listen to new episodes of Ruined every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And whatever you do, we're begging you, please
keep it spooky.
When they were young, the five members of an elite commando group nicknamed the Stone Wolves raged against the oppressive rule of the Cradorakian Empire, which occupies and dominates most of the galaxy's inhabited planets. The wolves fought for freedom, but they failed, leaving countless corpses in their wake. Defeated and disillusioned, they hung up their guns and went their separate ways, all hoping to find some small bit of peace amidst a universe thick with violence and oppression. 4 decades after their heyday, they each try to stay alive and eke out a living, but a friend from the past won't let them move on, and neither will their bitterest enemy. The Stone Wolves is season 11 of the Galactic Football League science fiction series by author Scott Sigler. Enjoy it as a standalone story or listen to the entire GFL series beginning with season 1, The Rookie. Search for Scott Sigler, S-I-G-L-E-R, wherever you get your podcasts.